Now, if you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Reminding you once again of the opportunity that you have to serve the Lord through the ministry of the training program at 6 o'clock, the evening worship service at 7, and through the opportunities and activities of the church this week, I trust that you would commit yourself to each one of these in faithful dedication. Hebrews chapter 1, and I shall begin reading at the very first verse. But first, I would ask you to join with me in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the time of the reading of the Scriptures. We thank Thee that Thou hast spoken to us in these days by Thy Son. We thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to grope within the dark, that Thou hast shown us the way. Thou hast lighted our path through the illumination of Thy Word. We pray in these moments as we read Thy Word together, and as we expound upon the truth, and as we worship, that the Holy Spirit might bring each one of us to the place of full and complete dedication to Thee. May Thy word cut us this morning. May the preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the greatest one who ever lived and died and lives again forevermore, may this preaching, may this message penetrate our innermost being. Saving the lost, reclaiming the backslider, bringing into the fellowship of the church those who would come today to identify themselves with this body of believers. This is our prayer and these are our petitions as we ask them in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 began at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Look again with me at verse 2. In these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son, one whom he hath appointed heir of all things, two, by whom he also made the worlds, three, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, four, upholding all things by the word of his power, five, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down, six, on the right hand of the majesty on high, seven, because he has been made so much better than the angels, since by birth, since by inheritance, he hath obtained a more excellent name than they. Last week, perhaps the most familiar sound that we heard emanating over the radio and on the television were these words, Mr. Chairman, I nominate so-and-so to such-and-such a place. Perhaps we heard it until we almost became weary of it. But today, we are faced with far greater issues than the politicians have faced this last week. And I am not minimizing the importance of politics and government in our national life, because these things are important. And government and offices of government are ordained of God and are to so be respected. But I cannot help repeat, we are faced today with far greater issues than either the Republicans or the Independents or the Democrats. For all of the issues that they have faced and are facing and shall face shall pass and fade with time. But today we are faced with issues not only of life, but of death. And we must never forget that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We are faced with issues not only of time, but our issues blossom into eternity. We are faced with issues of heaven and hell. And whether we realize it or not this morning, every person in this congregation is headed for one place or the other. Either with Christ as your Savior, you are on the road that leads to heaven, or having not received Christ as your Savior, you're on the downward road to an eternal hell. And it's just that plain. It's just that simple. It's either heaven or hell for every person. Now then, will you not agree with me that on this Lord's Day we are faced with far greater issues than any convention could ever be faced with, because they are confronted with only issues of time, of money, and of materials? For you see, we are in a convention today, a convention that draws delegates from every walk of life, from every station and rank in society. We are in a convention from which no one is exempt. No one is left out. No one is discriminated against. No one can ultimately excuse himself from what I think is the convention of life. I stated a while ago that no one is exempt from this convention. I realize, and you do, because some 40,000 people do this every year in the United States, that you could exempt yourself from this little stage of action that we call life, bound by time and space. You can exempt yourself by self-destruction or suicide from these 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength you make it 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength you make it to 80, yet is our strength labor and sorrow. You can exempt yourself from this stage of action. But what then? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, it's judgment. It's death one moment and judgment the next. So if you choose the coward's way out, as 40,000 Americans do every year, you are confronted once and for all with God face to face. After death, it's judgment. My message for this convention of life this morning centers about the nomination of the most likely candidate in all the world. In fact, I call him the world's most qualified candidate. And I speak now of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Oh, but you say, preacher, he cannot serve as President of the United States. He cannot meet the vital issues of life of the 20th century. He lived 2,000 years ago. But wait just a moment. Jesus Christ can meet the issues of 1968. And this word that I hold in my hand this morning is just as relevant in the 20th century as it was in the centuries during which time it was being written. You cannot date this book. You cannot exhaust it. This is the book that tells us about Jesus, the world's most qualified candidate. And I think for three reasons. Number one, he is qualified by reason of his person. Number two, he is qualified by reason of his performance. And number three, he is qualified by reason of his platform. Jesus Christ, the world's most qualified candidate, is indeed qualified by virtue of his person. We are not dealing with a creature of time. When I present to you Jesus Christ, I am talking to you about a person of eternal existence. There was never a time when Jesus Christ did not exist. I know that almost 1900 years ago, there was born in Bethlehem's manger of the Virgin Mary one whom they named Jesus. But the prophet Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child's being born was the record, the prophecy of the record of the virgin birth in Bethlehem's manger, when God took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and became man. The son given was the eternal word. As John puts it, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Don't you think that qualifies Jesus as the best candidate for all of the issues of life, of death, of time, and of eternity? He's an eternal person. Not only that, but he's a person of humble servitude. This King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this Lord of Glory, by whom God made the worlds and without whom there was nothing made that was made. This one who was coexistent with God, equal with God, on the throne, as it were, with him, laid aside this royal, majestic robe. And Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the fashion and likeness and image of man. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the despised, shameful death of the cross. He is a person of humble servitude. His own word is this in Matthew chapter 20. The Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for all. What a person of humble servitude. But I see more in this person, Jesus Christ. I see here a person of perfect purity. There is nothing perfect in this world today. No word that's ever been spoken has been pronounced perfectly. No word that's ever been written has been written perfectly. No job that's ever been done has been done perfectly. There is no perfection outside Jesus Christ. No wonder Peter says of him in his first epistle, chapter 2, and verse 22, in him there was no sin, neither was there any guile in his mouth. I marvel not that the beloved apostle John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 3, and verse 5, he was manifest to put away our sin, and in him is no sin. The spotless, sinless, perfect Son of God, he's my candidate this morning. Mr. Chairman, I nominate him as the one candidate who can meet all of the issues and solve all of the problems and answer all of the questions, because he is a person of unchanging emotions, ideals, and attitudes. You know, people are very fickle and very changeable. Politicians are. Today they're standing for one thing, tomorrow they may stand for something else. May I remind you that he who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Let us not be vacillating in our position as Christians. Let us take the example of Jesus Christ, and to the best of our ability as finite human beings bound with limits of energy and limits of space and time, let us be unchangeable in our convictions about the Word of God. For, beloved, we are living in an age when men are denying the truth of this Word, and they are denying the very blood that purchased them. Jesus Christ never changed. His emotions, his attitudes, his ideals, his policies, his platform, his program never changes. Or Paul writes, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a person. A person who indeed is absolute in his authority. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with the authority of heaven and the authority of God. No wonder one who listened to him said, and he taught them as one having authority, because he has authority by virtue of his person as the Son of God. I said a while ago that he's a person of eternal existence, but I hasten to tell you that he's a person of contemporary existence. Jesus lives today. Jesus is just as much my contemporary as he was Paul's contemporary or Matthew's contemporary. He is alive in the person of the Holy Spirit, is our contemporary right now. What a person. What a Christ. What a man. What a God. What a Savior. What a candidate. Mr. Chairman, I nominate Jesus Christ because of his person. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, I would nominate him because he is qualified in his performance. Well, let's just examine his record for a moment. We've examined the records of the politicians this last week. Let us examine the record of Jesus Christ, and we shall see that he performed perfectly as a child. When we follow him into the temple at age 12, and his mother and foster father were searching him out after a day's journey back to Nazareth, they found him in the temple performing perfectly as the child God, asking questions of the scribes and lawyers that they could not answer, answering questions even before they asked them. And the very first recorded words of Jesus, the first words that Jesus spoke that we have on record, Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." He performed perfectly as a child. Not only that, but in the days of his ministry, he performed perfectly. You know, he never failed to have compassion on people. When he saw a man who was blind, he opened his eyes. When he saw a man who was crippled, he straightened his limbs. When he saw a man who was deaf, he unstopped his ears. When he saw a man who was dumb, he loosed his tongue. Jesus never turned a needy soul away. You know, you can go to some attorneys, some lawyers, and lay the facts of the case before them, and they may not take your case. But I present to you this morning an attorney who will take your case and present it to God in heaven today. He has never turned a client away. He was perfectly performing in the days of his ministry. He performed perfectly in his death. The prophet Isaiah said that he would be led as a lamb before the slaughter, and he would open not his mouth. When he stood before those who condemned him, he opened not his mouth. He performed perfectly in his death, bearing my sins and your sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. It was my sins that nailed him on that cross that day. It was your sins, beloved, that drove the spikes in his blessed, sinless, spotless, pure hands and feet. Though a Roman soldier drove the sword in his side, your sins and mine pierced his beloved side that day. And he died a death of absolute and perfect submission to the will of God. For in the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." He died a perfect death. He was resurrected in a perfect resurrection. He lives today performing perfectly as our high priest. You know what that means? Well, I read in the Old Testament that the high priest in Israel had the names of all of the 12 tribes of Israel inscribed upon his breast. And every time he went into the most holy place, into the presence of God, that when God looked at the high priest Aaron, he saw all of the children of Israel. Beloved, my Aaron this morning has finished his offering for sin. There shall never be another Garden of Gethsemane for him. There shall never be another Pilate's hall. There shall never be another Via Dolorosa. He shall never trod over the way of the cross. There shall never be another sword or spike. He's seated as my Aaron, my high priest, at the right hand of God this morning. And every time that God looks at him, he sees me inscribed upon his blessed bosom. Me as unworthy as I am, you as unworthy as you are, God sees you in Christ the high priest. He's performing perfectly. You know, I've had to call on him so much, but he's never turned me down. And I never apologize when I go to him, because his word tells me to cast all of my care upon him, for he careth for me. And he said himself, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden with sin and sorrow and tragedy and what have you, and I will give you rest. My high priest never has a busy line. My high priest never has a deaf ear. My high priest is performing perfectly this morning, making intercession for me, for he is seated at the right hand of God. No wonder Paul says, seeing then we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Mr. Chairman, I nominate Jesus Christ on the record of his performance. And finally, he's qualified not only because of his person, not only because of his performance, but because of his platform. I'm not altogether sure that I know what the Republicans are going to do for us. Nor shall I at the end of this month be certain what the Democrats are going to do, or the independents. But I know what Jesus is going to do, because I have his written platform right here in my hand. And what a platform it is. It was written before the foundation of the world. And this platform contains a blessing for every member of Adam's race. Doesn't matter whether he's Democrat or Republican, independent or dependent, black or white, young or old, rich or poor, learned or unlearned, versed or unversed, educated or uneducated. My Jesus, my candidate, has a platform that suits your need today. And he shall deliver every promise that he's ever made. And this platform is designed to bring universal peace and righteousness to all the earth. For you see, his platform is guaranteed to do away with all of the enemies of mankind. Now, we can scream and holler all we want to about one party doing away with this or doing away with the other, but everything is temporary. They cannot finally, ultimately, do away with the discomforts of life. But my candidate can. For he has promised to do away with all of our enemies. And what are those enemies? Poverty, disease, sorrow, sin, death, war, just to name a few. But you know what? My candidate is going to abolish poverty. For the tree that he plants, the tree of life, shall bring forth 12 manners of fruit and shall bear their fruit each month. And he is going to make the desert in the day of his reign, in the day of his administration. He's going to make the desert blossom like a rose and bring forth abundantly. He will abolish poverty. My candidate, Mr. Chairman, will heal all the diseases. My candidate will remove all sorrow and wipe all tears from every eye. My candidate will take the sting out of death. My candidate will end every war. For the prophet Isaiah says, in the days of his administration, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their staves into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's the kind of candidate that I would offer to the world today. Not one who might stop the firing or stop the bombing, but one who will bring ultimate peace to all the earth. Let me read for you just a word or two about his platform. Listen to these words. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. I'm talking to you about Jesus now. He's the angel. He has the key to the bottomless pit. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Mr. Chairman, I nominate Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for our candidate, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we can wholeheartedly endorse him this morning because he has no faults and no failures. Because he's never lost a case and he's never turned a needy soul away. We thank thee that because of his divine person as thy son, because of his performance as child, as man, as God, as all things to all men, because of his platform, drawn up by his marvelous grace, sealed by the Holy Spirit, we nominate him this morning to every issue of life, to hold the office of King, of Lord, of Master, to rule and reign and have administrative right in every heart and life here today and all over the world, all the days of our lives. Dear God, it is our humble prayer that if there are those here without this candidate, they might come to trust him this morning. If there are those who are wavering in life and don't know which way to turn, and don't know who to vote for, help them to cast a vote for Jesus today. And take him and his platform and his performance and his person to be their anchor over the sea of life. For those who need to come into the fellowship of this church, may they step out today. For those who need to come for a prayer of dedication and a prayer of direction, may they come about this altar this morning. As we again nominate him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood, because we ask it in his name, and we ask it for his sake, and we ask it with thanksgiving.